Well, it's good to hear y'all laughing. That's awesome, man. That's funny right there. I don't care what you say. Oh, real good. Hey, great to see you. Glad to be in this series. God's doing some amazing things. Just want to give you a couple just reminders. First off, we had our first full week of small groups in the books, and what an amazing week it's been. We have had just really numerous, and not just saying that, just great reports of, you guys connecting and growing in 42 small groups, and so it's incredible. Plenty of groups to choose from, there's no doubt about that, and so I just want to encourage you, if you're not a part of a small group yet, get in one. Don't do this life alone, and do this life. It's better with people, and so I just encourage you to do that, and we've just, again, so thankful for what God's doing. Also, just want to remind you on your phone, if you haven't already downloaded our app, I encourage you to do that. A couple reasons. On days like today when it's snowy and it's like this, like we'll always send out push notifications on that to let you know whether church is on or not. And then also we always work with both news stations. So just a good reminder if you ever wonder, are we having church? And so that's just for you to know. And then also on that app, just want you to also want to draw your attention right there in the front. There's a place that you can submit questions to us for this series. And I want to ask you to do that because next Sunday we're going to do something we've never done. And I'm going to be joined up here, Bethany and I, with about four other married couples. And are going to really help me and to facilitate answers to those questions. And so whether you're single, whether you're married, or questions about sex, doesn't matter. We're going to take those questions and do our best. And these couples, I'm leaning on them a lot to just help. And they've got some great stories and things in their life as well. And so we're just really thankful for that and having the opportunity to share next week. So it'll be good. It'll be good, won't it? It'll be good. So looking forward to it. Well, if you already haven't, grab your message notes and let's get right in here into our message today. And we wanted to really try to do a good job of really encouraging, first off, our singles here today. It was just really on our hearts that we wanted to share some things with you today. And we've got some things that's going to apply to our marriages here as well. But I think one of the questions, we've talked about this, that we have often got just in our time of ministry. And then we worked with, in our previous church in Columbus, Ohio, when we were pastoring there, we worked with 20-somethings, 30-somethings a lot. And so this is a question we got a lot, and that is, what's the right way to date? Like, what does this look like? What's the Bible say about it? And how do I, pursue a relationship with this person and still honor God? And I just believe we're in a culture that really has not given us an example at all, because the example that we're given in culture is one that I think we need to flee from, because God always has an answer for whatever we need in our life. And so we just see so much in our culture. People tend to have relationship after relationship, hookup after hookup, and sometimes recreational hookup where it's just fun and it's all about sex. And so how do we, again, just honor God in our relationships? And especially if you're in a place, that you're dating someone or you desire to be married, I think this is so important for you and for me. So I want to just start off with a few verses with us that I think applies and helps us in today's dating culture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just want to read a few verses in this chapter, and it says, verse 15, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never." Then verse 18 says, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body." And then verse 19 and 20, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price." Everybody say, "I was bought at a price." "Therefore, honor God with your bodies." And so I think it's important that we remember that God has created us, and within that, he said that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that when you step into a relationship with God, that he lives on the inside of you. And that's the awesome thing about God, that in the Old Testament, God dwelt in buildings. And so buildings were considered very sacred in those times and holy. But in the New Testament is the better covenant. God doesn't dwell in buildings; he dwells in us. And so there's really nothing holy about this building, but there is a lot to say about God living on the inside of you and making you righteous like him. So, in other words, let me say this, that I think there's for this perception sometimes about church buildings that people, there's just things that they probably wouldn't be comfortable with doing in a church building, but that sometimes we are more comfortable with doing with our own bodies. And so I want to draw your attention back to the scripture that God says, I want you to honor me with your bodies. I want you to remember it's holy. This Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. And I think it's an important as we begin this today.
So when it comes to dating, the Bible doesn't have like scriptures specifically for dating because they didn't date back in the Bible times like we do in today's culture. They actually did similar to what a courtship in today's day would be, which courtship is awesome, but that's not for everybody. So you can date, but these scriptures that my husband has shared with you are a good place to start as far as what to allow and not allow in your relationships. Because when we allow sex to become part of our relationships, that creates a connection between two people that God meant for the context of marriage. But we want to talk about a few concepts today when it comes to dating, because we want to make sure that every single person in here has some things that are going to help them in that dating relationship. So the first one in your notes, that check mark, is date intentionally. So what that means is to date with the mindset that you are dating to find someone that you could actually spend the rest of your life with and be married to. You're not dating just for fun. You're not dating just to have a few dates here and there, but you're dating because you have in mind that this could be somebody that you want to spend the rest of your life with and be married to. So that's going to take being intentional. That's going to take asking some questions, getting to know that person. Kind of going back to last week, what we kind of joked about, the great interrogation that I got when Kyle and I were dating. But really, that's
Sounds
what he was
scary.
Doing. Yeah, I like to joke, but it wasn't scary at all. But he had very pointed, good questions.
If you missed that last week, make sure you get the message.
Yes, for sure.
Some people.
It wasn't crazy. Like, he wasn't crazy about it. But he had very intentional questions that he was asking me because he wanted to first find out, is this somebody that I should even consider? Because if we don't have the same goals in mind, if we don't have the same heart, as far as what we see for our future, then that's probably not somebody that you want to spend time dating. So you want to date intentionally.
Again, and I just want to say this. I mean, again, intentional dating approaches it with the idea that, again, I'm preparing for marriage, not just recreational hookup, where recreational dating, again, is just for fun or for, you know, sexual pleasure, that sort of thing. So again, it's the idea of that. So just wanted to throw that in. It's good.
So then the second check mark is to date non-sexually. So again, these are concepts for those of you that are dating or wanting to date someone. This one, really, what that means is to set some good, healthy boundaries. Like we've said last week, what we've already talked about today, sex is meant to be for the context of marriage. Now, if you have allowed those boundaries to be crossed, or maybe you've never heard somebody approach it like this before, maybe you're new to things of the Lord, there's no condemnation here. We all can be made new. You can start things different. Maybe you're in a relationship currently where things have not been done according to God's word. You can change that. You can make a decision today to reestablish some boundaries, or maybe to establish boundaries that you've never had before in your dating relationships. But you can make that change. For me personally, when Kyle and I got married, when we were dating, I was not a virgin. He was. And so in time, I made sure that I was honest with him about that because he deserves that honesty. He deserved to know that there was a past for me, that I was not a virgin. So I'm a great example that God can make all things new, that you can start today and make a change and say, you know what, that's not who I'm going to be anymore. I'm going to be intentional with my relationships. I'm not going to allow those dating relationships to be sexual, that we're going to make sure that we do things according to God's word.
Yeah, and I think I did a good job with that. I mean, when she gave that to me, because I know she was really scared that, you know, I was going to break up with her at that time potentially. But, you know, in that, I just reassured her, as much as God makes you and I new in all things, and he does, amen, everybody? And we're thankful for the God of second, third, fourth, 50th chances. Come on, somebody, amen. That, you know, who am I to ever try to judge? But the one thing I did tell her, I said, but you are my virgin. I don't care what your past is. And so that's exactly how I look at you. And so, but I was also honest with her. And for those that know part of my story, I was molested at a young age, and I was violated, and then went through a real dark time of pornography. And so I also wanted to make sure she knew up front that, hey, here's my past. Like, but, you know, I wanted to always just be very clear. Nothing should ever be hidden, you know, especially when we're trying or we're talking about preparing for marriage. So, and so I think the next one that I think this is really good, and it's date by faith, not by fear. And this is really good because I think we can, you know, it can be a little scary. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I was nervous. I mean, I knew she wanted me, but, you know, it was just like, you know, how's this gonna go, you know? but anyways, I think what happens is you know, we just kind of get fearful. And I think that's why going into a relationship, being led by the Spirit, and can I just tell you, you can be led by the Lord in it. And it's not just ooey gooey, you know, like there's some depth to what you're feeling. Not death, depth, all right? And if you've experienced that, then there's your sign, all right? But nonetheless, you know, that's where, I know for us, that's where we were. And I would even say for those that were, you know, we're such a proponent for marriage, Beth and I both. I mean, we want to fight always for marriage and for marriages to survive. That's why we called it This Is Forever. And this has just been a theme on my heart for a long time, that we build lasting marriages that last forever and buck the statistics that tell us the average marriage in America only lasts 3 years. It is such alive the enemy, what he has done to sabotage our marriages and our families, and he won't win. Because divorce stinks. It's hell and it's hard. And I think what's important is we've got to come alongside, and the church has got to continue to do a better job. I think to have messages like this, series like this, that we really help to build each other and to help build marriages and our singles as well. And you know, we read a stat last week. This is the least amount of people that has ever been married in almost 100 years. Less and less people are getting married. Well, I think we need to have a better example. And I think it starts with you and me. Amen, everybody? And you know, and I just remember for my parents, you know, when they divorced when I was younger, and then to watch them both go through seasons of, like, you know, being interested in people. My mom swore that she'd probably never get married, and my dad was open to the idea and dated, and it was just really one person for my mom, and that was it. She got it right, and so praise God. But nonetheless, you know, but I watched them both struggle a little bit with fear. Like, this is a real thing, and especially, I think when you come back into the place of really trusting God and having faith and knowing that it's God who's leading you and God who's going to be beside you, and very quickly, accountability. Yeah. And having relationships in your life, again, that are not impressed by you, but that are honest with you. So important, all right? And then here's the next one, date to explore, not to impress. And I think this is going to continue to help you understand, could this be the one? Could this be the man, the woman that God has for me? And so rather than worrying about physical attraction, and it's important, I don't want you to say, go here, leaving here, saying, Pastor Kyle, say it's not important. It's important. You need to be attracted. I get it. All right? Everybody understand? All right, it's important. All right, but take it a little bit deeper in the sense of ask questions. I can't tell you how many times we did that and engage in meaningful conversations that we are honest and authentic. And because you don't want to get married only to discover that, you know, the two of you have some very hurtful issues in your past that you didn't know about and were never resolved. And it can be very damaging. I alluded to this last week. I'll go into a little more to say that, you know, one of the couples many years ago that we walked with that we did premarital counseling with, and everything was going great until about week four. And it's only about 6 weeks or so of premarital, but it was about mid-time of our premarital counseling with this couple that here we are, and all of a sudden, you know, we just got the sense that some things were happening inside of her that she just wasn't talking about, and so we just pulled it out, and it was a mess. It was a mess in her past that she was hurt and went through that she never was honest to him about, and quite frankly, what it was doesn't matter. You don't know him anyways, but the bottom line was he needed to know this information. in order to continue to help her in the years to come, to support her and to be a foundational strength. And so, long story short, we just kind of threw a flag on the play, called a timeout, broke for a little bit, and then came back the next week. And then after prayer and us talking more, we realized, man, you guys aren't ready for marriage. Like, you think you're ready, but you're not ready. And so either you're going to heed, and this is the part where you need honesty, not people that's going to be impressed by you, that's going to love you. And that's what tough love is we had to look them in the eye and said, you're not ready to get married, and we need to work on this. And then they said, but, we've spent thousands in our invites already, and they're out in every mailbox. So, you know, and I asked them a question. I said, is it worth you getting into this prematurely before you should, having all of these issues? Or I know we already sent them out, but to work on this now instead of later, because there may not even be a later. Let's work on these things now. And so they were really, well, she was really mad at me. But he got it. She was. It took her a couple weeks, and they came back and said, man, we're gonna honor this, and we're going to do it God's way. And I'll just tell you, man, when they did it God's way, that ceremony, man, God's blessing was on, because nothing was hidden. We worked through the issues, and, man, God was on it, and it was powerful.
And it's important that when you come to a certain place in a dating relationship, you're getting very serious, you have to be honest with the other person. That was the point that I got to, that I needed to be honest with him and make sure that he knew everything that there was, because I didn't want there to be any secrets. I didn't want to carry that coming into marriage, because that's not healthy. But on the flip side of that, when you are barely dating or maybe you're just friends, you have got to be careful about the types of things that you are sharing with someone of the opposite sex. You should never be sharing your deepest, darkest hurts, pains with someone of the opposite sex outside of a serious dating relationship or marriage. That's the place that is meant for. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is because you are tying yourself to them. When you share those deep things, those hurts, those pains, you're tying yourself to that person. You've now opened yourself up. You've become vulnerable with this person. And now you have tied yourself to them, whether or not you realize it. Even if you've not had sex with the person, you have tied yourself to that person. They now know these things about you. There starts to become this attraction where it may not even be a real one, but because they're hearing these things, now they have got compassion and empathy for you, and it just develops into an unhealthy relationship. Yeah. So if you are friends with someone of the opposite sex, that's okay, but you should never, ever engage in any type of deep conversation with that person. That's meant for a small group leader, a pastor, you know, a couple that you have a small group. You can talk to that couple about it. But someone of the same sex or a professional counselor, because they can help you way more than probably many other people if there are really some deep-seated things that are going on with you. And married couples, same thing goes for you. You should never have in-depth conversations with someone of the opposite sex. You should never share issues with your marriage, issues with your children. Things like that are not meant to be had a conversation with somebody of the opposite sex. Never, ever.
Preaching.
So,
you preaching good up here. Man, I'll just set to the side. Go, girl.
No, you're staying.
Mark chapter 10. We do this every week if you want. All right. Verse 9, I want to read a couple scriptures to remind us from last week. Therefore, would you actually read this with me if you would with some real strength? Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Amen. And then John 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Again, this is about, you know, the subject or the topic today is not wrong, just different. How many know the person, you know, your spouse, you may think they're wrong sometimes and how they communicate and how they talk to you and how they don't talk to you, but they're not necessarily wrong, you're just different. And I think that's what we got to understand. Love and Respect is such a great, great book. Next week, I'll probably try to give you, I've had some people ask, hey, what are some good marriage books or some good books that could help? I'll try to give you a few of those next week just so you can help, because I think, you know, it's always good. We always need to be working on our marriage, and I'm preaching to the choir. We're the same way, and so you need to invest. And so I want to encourage us, though, that when you look at the one that you love, that you said, I do too, that you never forget why you said those things, why you committed, and that this is forever. Everybody say, this is forever.
This is forever.
Just as much it is as it's forever with your spouse, it's forever with your relationship with God. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I love that. In other words, Jesus is reminding you that there is no human on the face of this planet that could ever meet your deepest needs. Only Jesus Christ can meet your deepest needs. Amen? So we've got to remember that in the context of relationships, that really in everything that I need, I am going to find from him. Yes, God will use people, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen?
So last week, we talked about how we is better than me. We talked about how in marriage that we are allies, not enemies. And then we shared a few principles with you. One is the principle of priority, principle of pursuit, principle of possession, and principle of purity. And so like he said earlier, if you haven't listened to that message or you weren't here, maybe you need to hear it again. Go back and listen to that because you definitely want that foundation for yourself, even going forward in marriage or in dating. But communication is one of the biggest things that we want to talk about this week and a few aspects of that because communication is essential in marriage. You have to have good, healthy communication. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21 says, "The fruit of their mouth, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So your words carry great power. Specifically in marriage, your spouse's words are far more powerful than anybody else. More than anybody else on this earth, your spouse's words are going to carry the most weight. They are the most effective, whether good or bad. So we have to be careful of the things that we say, making sure that we speak things that are words of life, that we are speaking things that are encouraging, loving things, not putting each other down, not calling names. We have to make sure that we keep a guard on our mouth and don't allow words to be used as a weapon because your words are powerful more than anybody else.
Yeah, and the reason why this is so important, communication and finances, again, we learned this last week, are the leading cause for divorce in America. And so I think, again, as a church, we've got to do a good job of talking on things that obviously matter and not just trying to shun things away. And I think that's been the problem. I think the problem is sometimes in marriage that we just don't want to get honest and deal with it, deal with what we're really feeling. And so I think this is such a, hopefully a good reminder for us today, the power of words and communication. There was a comedian, his name is Jonathan Winters. This is such an interesting story, but I'll just shorten it up. He was very, when he was a child, was physically and verbally abused. And he was in an interview, and he was talking about this, and he made this statement. He said, "The verbal abuse I suffered was much worse than the physical scars that I received." And I just think there's something to be said about the power of our words. Are you with me? Proverbs 18, as Bethany just read, have the ability to produce life or have the ability to produce death. Your words really are powerful. And so Matthew 12 says this. Jesus said, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak." Think about that, that just not anything pours out of your mouth, that you and I are going to be held accountable for our words. "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And so I know this, that communication is the most important vehicle in your marriage today. It's going to help you establish the spiritual, emotional, mental, practical oneness for you and your spouse. And can I just tell you, and just maybe this is a reminder, but I probably don't have to remind you in this, that Satan constantly and relentlessly wants to attempt to sabotage our relationship and our marriage, to accuse one another, to say things, and sometimes we say things that we really don't mean, but they just come out because we didn't allow time to maybe process the things that we're going through before we spoke, and so the words that are coming out are very, very hurtful at times. And so we want to just give a few practical things that I think that'll be very helpful for us in communication. And so I want to help you with this. So number one is that there needs to be a mutual concern for each other, sensitivity. And so you can write the word in here, that's the word caring, that, you know, I believe this for my marriage. I believe this in life with people, that people don't want to just know that you're there. They want to know that you care. And the hardest and the darkest hours to the greatest hours, man, are you there? Are you there? And so have you ever tried to, like, I don't know if any of y'all know what I'm talking about when I say this, but you probably do. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they just will not look you in the eye? like, where are you looking? Like, I'm right here. Like, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, you know, and it is frustrating. It is so frustrating. And I've just know for when we're in relationship and conversation, you know, eye contact is a big communication point to let her know that I really care about what you say and not just watching the game, you know, or something else, you know, fellas, you know, that we're really making that eye contact because, again, it's showing her that I'm paying attention and focused on what she is saying to me. And I even try to do that with people. You know, sometimes I'll be talking with someone and I want them to know I care by allowing my eyes to be on them because I want them to know what you are saying to me has meaning. Instead of just being easily interrupted by somebody that comes up and just grabs me and wants my attention, which that's rude. And so, but it's just, you know, but it's learning to honor that and know that, man, when people are talking, I really try to do a good job of that. But just a couple of quick good reminders in caring, and I think things that we can do with each other to help is making good eye contact, is affection and body language. Like, your body language is huge. I can usually tell a lot about, you know, people just by, man, you know, whether they're mean mugging me or just, man, is he almost done? Like, him and his wife up there, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got places to be, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's just body language, and it's huge. And honestly, this is something Bethany and my mom really helped me with, is just, you could read a lot here with people, you know what I mean? And so it's just being mindful of that. How about voice level? I just don't believe in screaming and yelling at each other. I just think we're two adults, and we can act like adults. And I'm certainly not going to argue in front of my kids. And I would just challenge as parents to be very careful of that. And here's what I know. Hear my heart on this. I realize some of us don't even know this. Like, it's okay. That's why we're here. Man, we love you. And we just want to help you. And we want your kids to have a great example of mom and dad. But here's the reality. Mom and dad sometimes have intense conversations. Look at the person next to you. Say, intense. They're intense. Yeah, they're intense. Sometimes intense. I like to use that instead of like fighting, arguing. It sounds so rough, you know? But although those conversations of intense conversation can be a little rough. But nonetheless, it's just really loving each other and honoring each other, but honoring your kids. You know, and it's not to paint a picture that mom and dad didn't have issues, but it's learning how to work out private matters in your marriage and not having them apart, because that's not their job. You with me? It's not their responsibility. And just an attitudes of serving and pleasing each other, really listening. Sensitivity is huge, and listening to the hurts and desires. And Bethany will tell you a little bit about a book that I think is great.
Yeah, a great book that you can do together, even as a devotional, is The Five Love Languages. It's a great book, very practical. It actually has a little quiz in there that you take and just helps you discover how it is that you feel loved and how you give love to people. And it's great, a great tool for you to have in your arsenal for your spouse, because when you speak to them and their love language, it could be words of affirmation, acts of service, touch, you know, there's five different ones, like we said. But when you learn to speak to them in their love language, one, it shows that you care, but then they're actually going to feel loved because you're actually speaking their love language. So it's a very selfless thing that you could do going through that book together. But when you do it together as a couple, it's really awesome because then you're both going to learn something from it. If you're dating or engaged, it's also a great thing to do before you get married and just to learn what each other's love languages are so that you can be able to speak that language to each other.
Yeah, that's good. Number two is intellectual devotion, and that's really is just listening. Listening. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Difference between hearing, difference between listening. Hearing is a physiological function of the ear. All right, listening is an intellectual devotion to what the ear is actually picking up. And so whenever our spouses are speaking to us, we need to listen carefully, because sometimes they may be communicating beyond what they are actually saying and speaking, if that makes sense. So, and I think what's important is, again, the distractions. Man, we've just got to get away from some of the distractions. And you know, from the TV and social media, I think it's just easy to spend so much time on those things, but to have a time that you genuinely listen. Usually the best time for us is when our kids are in bed, glory to God, and, you know, 8 o'clock is bedtime in the Mills house, all right? And so we're talking about Ashton bumping her time up maybe a little bit, but man, that's time's like sacred, you know? And so, but that's a time for us to catch up. It's a time for us to communicate. It's a time for us sometimes, you know, we'll watch shows together, some of our favorite shows, and sometimes it's just chill, you know? And I think that's something that we're starting to value more and more.
But it's also good when it comes to listening, a good thing that you can do, especially if you struggle with communication in your marriage, is to do what's called active listening. And what that means is that you are asking questions. When your spouse says something, you ask them, what I'm hearing you say is such and such. Is that what you're saying? And it's just clarifying, is that actually what you're saying? Because like one of our favorite books says, what this message is named after, not wrong, just different. Because you communicate, men and women communicate and hear differently. So what your spouse is saying, you might be hearing different than what they're actually trying to communicate. So when you ask those clarifying questions, it's going to help break down that communication barrier and help you to better be able to have a conversation.
So good. So good. Here's number three. This is huge. And that's loving confrontation. And that is speaking the truth in love. All right. Ephesians 4 says, instead, speaking the truth in love. Actually, I want you to read this with me too. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Come on. Speaking the truth in love. And then Proverbs 3 says, let love, faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. I think this is one of the greatest moments in marriages that can cause the most damage, and that's when we don't speak the truth in love. There's nothing wrong with confrontation. It's just the methods that we use. And so I think that's why oftentimes, you know, and we have sat in many times with couples throughout the years that, man, it's just, I'll never forget, I had to separate one married couple. I mean, she was ready to deck him in the face. I mean, it was that bad. I thought, is this what it looks like at home, gang? Am I getting a picture? Yes, pastor. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we need to work on this. That's for sure. Amen. Let's just start right here with communication, all right? We don't ever want to throw fists at each other, all right? And honestly, if it gets that way, it gets physical, we need to, you know, and I'm just telling you right now, we need to get out, because that's not healthy. You know, nobody ever needs to communicate in such a way, all right, everybody? Now, let me be very clear on that. If relationship gets that direction, you got to get out, all right? And you need to protect yourself. But I will say that speaking the truth in love is learning how to fight fair. I go back to, we're adults, and we should be able to handle ourselves as adults. And Proverbs 3:3, again, this reminder talks about let love and faithfulness never leave you, and bind them around your neck. And here's what I know. Truth by itself is dangerous. It is absolutely dangerous, all right? It's unfortunate because many people pride themselves on how truthful they are. Well, I'm just going to tell them what I think, and I don't care. And if they hurt their feelings, then okay. You know what I mean? Like, what's up? Because all you're doing is butchering people, and you're not being sensitive about their feelings and their emotions. So that's why the Bible says truth with love. Because the other side is true. Likewise, love in of itself is useless. But with truth beside it, it's going to be everything that we need. But you have to have that within confrontation. So I just kind of want to role play this, and I want to show you what I mean by this, because we were talking about this. I thought, man, I want to help us have a healthy confrontation without going cray on each other. You with me? All right. And so, crazy, okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about. So, but with Bethany, you know, and when we have these, and we didn't get there overnight, just so you know. All right, it took us a little while to get here, didn't it, babe? All right, and so, but it's something that we have continued to grow in. And I think one thing, just quick, is to always believe the best about each other. Always. It's the person you married. Man, they love you, obviously. They're putting up with you, you know? But they love you. You love them. And I think we just need to remember that. But in a confrontation, I mean, it's kind of what it looks like for Bethany and I. Babe, I love you. Like, you're incredible. You're an incredible wife. And so many ways that, man, you are filling my life and such a great mom and everything. But I just,
And I love you and I honor you. And so I just got something that I want to share with you that's just kind of bothered me that I just feel like I need to talk to you about. And I know those aren't always fun conversations. And guys, I know we would like to just kind of roll our eyes, but I'm telling you, man, as men, we've got to listen better. I'm just talking to the men, and I'll let the Bethany talk to the ladies for a minute. Guys, we do. And not just take it as fluff and have open conversations that we're listening to her. And so there's been times that we've had to say the words, I'm sorry. You know, man, will you forgive me? I apologize, you know. And how many know those are huge words to say? Yeah. Amen. And then there's moments that we agree to disagree. And you got to know how to do that. And not just walk off and storm off, man, well, he didn't listen to me, you know. Well, no, that, I mean, with that attitude, Lord have mercy, you know. So, and I think what we have to do is just honor each other enough to know that, you know, I know you love God, and I know, you know, and I do too, and, you know, that I'm going to take it before the Lord, and we'll see, but we're going to agree to disagree, but we're not going to continue to let it fester is where I'm getting at, and allow it to hang over us, because it just becomes unhealthy, and it stirs in just the atmosphere of your home, and you want to protect the atmosphere of your home. You want it to be peaceful. How many know we got enough chaos in the world, and sometimes on our jobs and at the grocery store and people cutting you off in the traffic? Come on, somebody. Am I talking to anybody in the church that understands what I'm talking about? All right? And so, man, we want to protect that. We want our home to be at peace, so.
Yeah, and so sometimes it's just knowing whether or not it even needs to be a conversation. If something really bothers you, then absolutely you need to talk to your spouse about it. But I know a lot of times, especially us ladies, we can be led by our emotions. And so a lot of times what I do is examine my own self and say, all right, am I irritated right now because I'm just in a cranky mood? Am I irritated because I've had a bad day? Did I take what he said out of context? And I really will examine myself. And if something really does bother me, then I will talk to him about it. But I also am not going to nag him. The Bible says in Proverbs that a nagging wife is like a dripping faucet. And I've always remembered that scripture. And I'm like, I am not going to be an annoying dripping faucet. So when I have talked to him about something, and praise the Lord, see, he appreciates it. He didn't tell that scripture to me. The Lord did. No, seriously. You don't want to nag your spouse. So like what he alluded to, when you have talked to them about something, maybe you've agreed to disagree, then the best thing you can do is to take it to the Lord and say, yeah, all right, God, if I'm wrong, then change my heart. And if they're wrong, then change their heart. But I'm not going to allow this to affect me like this. I'm not going to carry it. I'm not going to carry this week after week and let it bother me. But you got to just let it be settled that you're going to agree to disagree and just give it to the Lord fully. Amen.
Which brings us to the fourth point here, which I think is so good. And that's intimate discussion. And that's just openness. Last week, we talked about the story of Adam and Eve in the garden and how they were brought into this world naked. And then when they sinned, remember, they then covered themselves up because they were afraid. And so God's intention was there to be nakedness. In other words, God's intention was there to be openness, honesty, vulnerability, transparency, all those things with one another. Ephesians 4 says, in your anger, do not sin. So in other words, God knows that you and I will get angry sometimes, but he's saying, hey, don't let it escalate. Don't sin with your mouth. Don't let your actions get you to a place that you're going to regret. All right, don't let it control you. All right, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Love that verse. Been a verse for us, our entire marriage, and even when we got engaged. We committed our life to this verse because this is what this verse is saying, that I will not allow any issue to be left unresolved at all. We will not take it another day. It's going to be resolved that night, even if that means we got a long night and we got to put the coffee on to figure it out. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So I'm not going to go the next day with conflict between us. And I'll tell you something my pastor had me do with my mom and dad, because had her do it too with her parents, but with my parents being divorced, they both taught me something that was incredibly important about this. And honestly, both my mom and dad simultaneously essentially kind of said the same thing. And I'm just thankful. I just want you to know, like, my mom and dad have always given me the freedom to talk about this. And I appreciate that so much about them, because they know this is a teaching thing for me and for us, and however it can help people. And so, and by the way, they both remarried. I've got great step-parents, and they reconciled, and they like each other, and they can be in the same church and stuff too, and so can my step-parents. And if you don't know, that's a miracle too. So anyways, we thank God for that. And so, but I'll just say that one of the things they taught me is when conflict went unresolved in their house, they said, and when they didn't deal with things, they said it was like a wall. They described it even at night when they would go to bed at night, sleeping in the same bed, like there was just this massive wall. And it just got, it was just like it got bigger and bigger. And it took them out, and obviously. But I just want to always encourage us to deal with the things that we're feeling. And there's a place that sometimes we get stuck in marriages. We get stuck sometimes, and we need help. We may need a pastor. We may need a small group leader. We may need a counselor to step in, a marriage counselor, and it is okay. One of the things I hope that I try to do a good job as your pastor is to encourage you to get help, is to always encourage you to step outside beyond your comfort zone to get the help that you and I need, and to know and to take the pride off. And that's why I hope, it's just part of my life, I hope, gang, that I try to always be transparent with you, even things I go through. And the other thing is just sex. Is it's got to be a conversation that you have. I mean, probably the number one thing that we've counseled couples with the most is the lack of intimacy happening in the bedroom. It's just, and it need not to be that way. And this is intended. Like, God created sex for you in your union and marriage. Just like, it's like for singles, I can't keep them out of bed. And then it's like for married couples, I can't keep them in bed. You know what I mean? It's just trying to help pastor somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, so what I'm saying is, y'all, we need to have conversations. And here's what I know. Let it get spicy. Talk about it. Get creative. Mm-hmm. All right? And, you know, but do it in a way that honors each other. Talk about it. If the other one doesn't like it, then don't do it. Honor them. Love them. Listen to them. Guys, I know we get a little cray-cray. All right? We need to remember. You know, there's an old saying, you know, guys are like microwaves. Girls are like crock pots. All right? So it just takes time, fellas. Get them in the mood. Work it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And so, y'all laughing because you know it's true, you know? So you want to say anything?
Yeah, but talking about sex within your marriage is not a taboo subject. It's mm-hmm. actually a very healthy subject. Mm-hmm. You can talk explicitly about sex within your marriage. It's good.
Yeah.
Don't feel weird about it. And if it's weird at first, I promise it's not going to be weird the more that you do it. It can kind of feel a little bit awkward, but you've got to just allow him, her, to get in those depths of what it is that you like, what you don't like. If you hate something, then you've got to communicate that. But that is something that between you and your spouse, you have to have those conversations. They're good and they're healthy. And I promise you that the more you have them, the easier it's going to get. On top of that, listen, ladies, do not withhold sex from your husband.
Yeah, that's good.
You have got to quit being selfish.
Come on.
Quit holding things over him. Get over yourself and realize that this is part of being married. This is part of serving your spouse and vice versa, him for you. But you have got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone, to have the conversations, to be open about it, and just communicate about it. And I'm telling you this right now, that if you don't enjoy doing it now, ladies, the more you do, the more you will. So it creates a unity. It brings you together. It's so important. That's what God's designed it for. That's what he wants you to be able to do within the context of your marriage. But like we said earlier, if that boundary's been crossed and you're in a dating relationship, then you've got to reestablish those boundaries.
That's good.
But before we go on, I want to say something, because I didn't say this earlier, and I just want to preface that being single is not less than being married.
That's right.
It's just as much as a gift as marriage is. A marriage is a wonderful and beautiful thing. But it is okay to be single. It's okay to be content with being single. If you want to be married, God knows that. He honors that. And I believe that God's got somebody for you. But be patient. Don't settle for just anybody. And know and understand that being single is a wonderful thing. And you can devote so much time to the Lord. Things that you won't have time to do when you're married, you're going to be able to do when you're single. And so enjoy it while you can. As hard as that might be sometimes, just enjoy it as much as you can and know that it really is a gift, whether it's marriage or being single. They're both amazing gifts.
Yeah, and I just want to lastly just touch the financial end. I just wanted to touch this today because, again, this is between probably intimacy, you know, from what we have experienced with couples and just counseling is finance is a huge area that a lot of couples struggle with because a lot of couples are not on the same page. And I just want to encourage you, you can either do it the hard way or God's way. And I really mean that, that if finances and its struggle, if it's a struggle for you to honor God with your finances, it's a hard issue. It's a hard issue. And you need to bring it to God. You know, tithe means test. You know, and I'm just telling you, it is incredibly important. It's one of our first conversations we had when we were dating is where you're at, because I wanted to know where her heart was in honoring God. And, you know, the Bible talks about it, that if we're not honoring God with that, we're actually stealing from him. That's what the Bible says. I know for my daughter, as she when she gets older, I told Bethany this, one of the first things I'll check, man, is he tithing? Because I'm not going to give my daughter to a thief. And because he's going to honor God. Because if he's going to love my daughter, man, I got some high standards. But if he's going to honor my daughter, he's going to honor God first in his life. And he said, boy, that's. No, you know what that is? It's just protecting not only my daughter, but also understanding the importance of doing it God's way and not my way. And the Bible talks about in Malachi chapter 3, I'll get into that in a second, but the Bible says in Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We own nothing. God owns everything. We are called to be stewards. We own nothing. Every breath that you breathe, every breath, you're only here because of God. Think about it. God, you woke up because God's not done with you, all right? And so the first step I think we take in financial freedom and security is if we haven't been doing this God's way is to repent to God and taking, here's why we repent, for taking possession of the things in our lives and neglecting to recognize that God is the owner and authority in our life. And the Bible says in Malachi 3, bring all the tithes on the storehouse, all right, and that there be food in my house, and try me in this, if I'll not open up the windows of heaven, pour out such a blessing on your life, man, that there won't be room for you to contain it. I think we all want that kind of blessing, and we talk about it, but man, oftentimes we miss out on it because we're still stuck doing it our way instead of God's way. And there's no pressure. I just want you to know that, I mean, we're not trying to get anything from you, just honestly trying to get something to you, and we have been the beneficiaries of God's blessing, not just monetarily, but health and just family and kids and those kind of things. So it's important. And then Luke 16, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever's ever dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. In other words, God can't bless us more if we're not faithful with what he's already given us. You know, if we can't be faithful with $500 a week, how is God going to entrust us with $5,000 a week? All right? And the heart of a steward says, what I have now, I'm going to be faithful with. Not just when it's convenient, but even when it's raining out too. Yep. I'm going to stay faithful because I see God as my source, not just on some days, but for every day. God is my source for everything. And so we need to just understand the heart of God. If God is going to be first in your life in every, and I mean in everything, gang, not just some things. If God is going to be first in your life, then everything will come in order. But if God is not first in your life, you're going to struggle having things coming in order, like your marriage, your kids, your job. You know, when we were pastoring, you know, in Columbus, and we had a bunch of college students and some of them that graduated, I'll never forget conversations that we even had with them, because I want to just say this because I think it's important. They used to say, well, when I get done paying my student debt, you know, then I'll tithe and give to God regularly. And I said, and, you know, because as they're searching out for a new job and everything, I said, man, you can't afford not to do that now. And so it's prioritizing and it's budgeting, and there's ways to do that. And I just would encourage you, if you missed the Blessed Life series in November, you may need to re-listen to it again, or even as a marriage, and to come under God's hand and his lordship for what he wants for your life. And if you need help, reach out. I'm telling you, man, we've got a lot of amazing people, some business leaders in our church that have a passion that want to help people with their finances and get on budget so they can be successful. Amen? So I just want you to know it's available for you, but we want to see, man, your life blessed. And when you do it God's way in everything, everybody, God's blessing comes on you. And trust me, you want his blessing. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads? We just want to pray over you today.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for just using even the words that have been spoken today, God, to just bring some clarity when it comes to dating.
Yes.
To bring some conviction, God, where you needed to bring some conviction. I believe you've already been speaking today. Lord, whether it's in those that are dating or those that are married, God, maybe some things have been handled incorrectly. Maybe there's been hurts that have been had, that there needs to be some forgiveness and some reconciliation. Or we just believe and speak that there's going to be some new healthy changes to marriages today. Some, just a new perspective when it comes to being single today. That you're going to bring just a place of peace to each and every person that's in here. God, that you would help us to get the help when we need the help and not be afraid to reach out and ask for that help, Lord. We just thank you for just using your word today to guide us in the right direction, to maybe put us on a new path, to change the way that things have been going and to push forward in a new direction. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
And Father, and we give the enemy no place in our lives. Today, God, we just even renew our heart and our commitment to you right now within our marriages. And God, I speak life over us. And I just speak, God, even if there's moments throughout today's message or even last week that maybe has hit something within us, God, that we would respond to it. And that, Lord, that we would be open with you and our loved one about it. And Holy Spirit, I'm just asking you, by the grace of God, to just continue to move upon the marriages of this church in the name of Jesus. God, that we would be an example to the rest of the world of what marriage looks like. And so, Father, let that conviction go deep within our hearts. And I just speak blessing over every person that wants to be married today, all of our singles in the house. God, I just thank you, God, for them and their heart and their growth and what you're doing on the inside of them. I just pray that they continue to take this message that they heard today, Lord, and apply it. And God, that you would bring the right person in their path and their spirit will know. It's not going to be about the physical. It's going to be about what you're trying to join spiritually together with them. And so, God, I just pray for a healthy confidence and just a renewal of that faith, even within their heart today, to look to you as their source for everything. And so, God, we just honor you, and we thank you for this time this morning. And if you're here right now, I just want to take this moment, and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, or maybe you're in a place that you drifted from God. Maybe God has not been the priority relationship, but he needs to be. And today that you're recognizing, man, I need to make a commitment to him. Or for some of us, we just need a fresh start with God. We need to renew that commitment with him. I'm talking to you too. So on the count of three, in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand, and then you can put it right back down, and then we're all going to pray together. All right, so on the count of three, one, two, three. Come on, all over this place, just be real honest with God. Say, man, that's me, real high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Praise God. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Yeah. So let's just pray. I want to lead you in this prayer right now and just mean this in your heart and speak it out and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for raising from the dead for me. I give you my life. My heart belongs to you. My life is not my own. It's yours. So today, give me the strength, give me the wisdom, and the passion to go after you with everything within me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give God a great big hand this morning for what he's done? Amen, everybody. Amen.